Hello, friends. I would like to begin by singing a poem that I've put to song. The poem is by my great teacher, Paramahansa Yogananda. It's called God, God, God. From the depths of slumber as I ascend, the spiral stairways of wakefulness, I will whisper, God, God, God. Thou art the food, and when I break my fast of nightly separation from thee, I will taste thee and mentally say, God, God, God. No matter where I go, the spotlight of my mind will ever keep turning on thee. And in the battle din of activity, my silent war cry will be, God, God, God. When boisterous storms of trials shriek, and when worries howl at me, I will drown their noises, loudly chanting, God, God, God. When my mind weaves dreams with threads of memories, on that magic cloth will I emboss, God, God, God. Every night in time of deepest sleep, when my peace dreams and calls joy, joy, my joy comes singing evermore, God, God, God. Waking, eating, working, dreaming, sleeping, serving, meditating, chanting, divinely loving, my soul will constantly hum, unheard by any. God, God. I would like to sing also a song from my new record album, What Is It For? Sorry, that's not quite in tune. It'll have to do, I think. Mm-hmm. gave us the mountains. Peace gave us the sky. Nightly when starlight enfolds us, peace is its lullaby. Amen. Amen. Peace gave us the morning. Peace gave us the sun. Bird songs that call us to welcome day and fresh labor's begun. Amen. Amen. Peace gave us the seasons, peace gave us the rain, cool clouds that gather to bless us, mist hands that soothe away pain. Amen. Gave us our heart's love, peace gave us our smiles, rays of thy presence within us, light that all strife reconciles. Amen. Peace from the new record album, What Is It For? There is a song in Bengali that translates very roughly, if your heart is crying with sorrow, then, O mind, O restless mind, don't go from door to door begging for sympathy, but just dako ma, call ma, meaning God in the form of the Divine Mother. And if your life is unfulfilled, if you don't find the things that you are looking for, if the promises of this world have been broken, if the flowers that you have grasped suddenly die, wilt, wither away, even in the very grasping, then, O restless mind, don't weep. Don't weep for more things, but just call Ma. The thing is, as we sang in the beginning, God, God, God. The thing is that the cure for all of our sorrows, all of our troubles, all of our difficulties is not in running from door to door looking for sympathy, for understanding. It is not in getting things. It is not in finding new and better circumstances. It is in calling God as mother, as friend, as father, as beloved. However you look at him, that's what he is. It doesn't matter. But the thing is that we should not look for our help and our salvation from mere reflections of the only reality that ever was. The love that we are looking for, all of us, in one way or another, is to be found in ourselves. The peace that we are looking for is to be found in ourselves. The joy, the happiness, the security, everything that we want exists inside. And the thing that we find outside, when we find it, it's not enough to say that it's temporary. It's not enough to speak of the ephemeral nature of the world's fulfillments, although obviously it's so. All things leave us in time if we don't leave them first. Death takes everything away from us until we die and leave everything else. It isn't enough to say that. The fact is that none of these things exist in the first place. Nothing is real except as a reflection. A reflection of what we have inside. You know, actually, what we are doing when we love, when we enjoy, when we find peace and fulfillment in this world, actually what we are doing is sort of leaning on crutches. It's like a little girl with a doll, tenderly loving that doll, knowing that the doll can't love back, and yet feeling love from the doll. Why? Because everything that we feel from people anyway is really a reflection of what we give to them. That is why, if you want to find friends, be a friend first yourself. If you want to find love, love first yourself. If you want people to be true to you, be true first yourself. Ultimately speaking, because this is all that there is in this world, is the expression. The love that we find is found in the loving. The joy that we enjoy is found in the enjoying. All that we find in this world is found in exact proportion to the amount that we give. But this does not mean that we might as well lock ourselves up in a closet and love no one and love nothing, but just sit there and feel. By no means. In the expression, what happens is that we sort of, well, it's like a pillowcase. You find a little bit of a pillow, feather sticking out that may jab its point into your cheek, and so you pull on it, thinking to get rid of that one. And you find that you can't get rid of just one. This is what I used to do as a child. I would pull one little feather out and find that before I was through, I had a handful. Similarly, in the expression of love, in the expression of joy, in the expression of what we have to give, if we understand that what we are expressing is not ourself, but the deeper reality of God, if we can make ourselves instruments of that love and of that joy, we will find that just like that feather, more and more seems to come with it. In other words, in the expression, it grows. In expressing love for others, in expressing love for the world, however, we must understand whence comes that love, whence comes that understanding and that joy. In other words, we must live consciously as instruments of God. We must live consciously knowing that whatever capacity for love that we feel is from Him, whatever capacity for enjoyment that we feel is from Him, and all things that we find, all fulfillments that we find are reflections, not just of our little personal selves, but of that divine one. Surely nothing can give us any fulfillment beyond our capacity to respond. A person who doesn't know how to feel joy can't find joy from the most beautiful music. A person who doesn't know how to love cannot appreciate love, though all the world love him. There must be this ability to feel. But as long as this ability is locked in the ego, as long as it is my little love, my little happiness, my little this and that, so long will it be a very small thing. So long will it be still just a kind of crutch. The crutch of this body. The reflection of the world outside the world outside is a reflection of ourselves, but this little self, this little body is also a reflection of our higher self, the soul within us, the soul that longs and aspires towards God, towards its own source in the infinite. This is what we are. This is what we long for. Now, this, I think, is what is needed today in an age that has become increasingly secular, in an age where people are looking for all sorts of wise solutions to their problems from the psychiatrists, from social upliftment, from a political change, from various kinds of political systems, from science, from all sorts of worldly solutions. And yet the world seems to spin restlessly on its way, wobble, you might say, restlessly on its way through space. People do not seem to have found what they are looking for. Instead of greater peace as a result of all our development, all our civilization, instead of greater love, instead of greater fulfillment in our hearts, we find that we are more restless than perhaps the savages, more lacking in peace of mind, more filled with the sense of despair, of anguish. It is today that people are asking, who am I? Where am I headed? Why am I here in this world? In an anguished tone, wondering why this terrible insecurity has to gnaw at our hearts when we are living in the midst of such plenty. Even in the churches, we find so often, I have been reading several church magazines lately, and problems are raised, with solutions given, problems that are normal human problems, loneliness, increasing Americanization, that is to say, secularization of religion, and so on. And the thing is that all too often the solutions presented seem even by the churches to be secular, not spiritual. That is to say that the solution to loneliness is given in a very practical, down-to-earth way, which is fine. I mean, we ought to take practical steps too, to find strength within ourselves, to learn to live with ourselves, to get, mix with people in a different spirit, not to live in the past, and regret associations with people whom we no longer have with us, associations that we cannot resurrect. All of these solutions are perfectly fine and proper. It is not to exclude them, but while giving such solutions to exclude the only ultimate reality, which is that by a deeper, closer living relationship with God, all loneliness will disappear. By deeper experience of the presence of God within, there is no longer a need to depend upon an outward church, and no longer a need to identify the church either with an American way of life that is sort of establishmentarianism, or with a new kind of resurrection of religion that will be capable of recognizing various social problems and ills and so on. But no, let us rather understand that in addition to all man-made solutions, every one of which may be exceedingly valid, the real solution is only to be found in loving God and feeling his presence. It isn't enough just to love him. We must love him in an I-thou relationship. That is to say, love him by calling to him, by saying, come to me, my beloved. Come to me, my own. I know that you are with me. Then don't hide behind the darkness of my closed eyes. Don't hide behind my restless thoughts. Don't hide behind my own weaknesses, my sins, my misunderstandings. But, Mother, pick me up on your lap. Wash me clean. Only you can cleanse me. Only you can make me whole again. Mother, I don't want any other solution but to know that you love me and that you are with me. The kind of love that seeks an experience of God and not just dogmatizing about him, this is what we seem to have lost sight of. And if we need a change in religion, and I believe we do, then I believe that change must come in a more living relationship with God, and not just in going out and taking care of the poor. Yes, we must take care of the poor, but remember the words of Jesus, the poor you have with you always, me you do not have. The greatest thing that we can do is to feel God's presence within and to understand that everything else is a crutch. The love that we long for from other people, and God knows as people, we do. We want friends. We want people to love us. We want people to enjoy things with us. It's only human. It's only natural. There is nothing wrong with that. But it is wise and well for us to understand that these are crutches and that the ultimate realities of life are all to be measured in terms of intangibles. Intangibles. Love is not a thing. It is not locked up in a person, in a human form. Joy is not to be found in some delicious ice cream cone or a beautiful scenery. The most lovely experience in this world cannot be the summation of joy. It cannot lock joy up in its heart. It does not even express joy in an absolute sense. It is merely a reflection. It expresses it, yes, as an instrument, but it is not joy. It cannot be a definition of joy. It can only be an example of joy's working. Joy, love, peace, harmony, all these are intangibles. And every time we lean on something else, look to something else to give us that, we may know that it is a crutch that we are leaning on. No, we don't need those things if we have the wisdom and the understanding to know that that beloved one is the only one who is smiling at us through the flowers, laughing at us through the play of the waves on the ocean, on the lakes, smiling at us through our friends, caressing us through our loved ones. There is only one who is playing at hide-and-seek through all forms in this universe, that one God. And so then, when things go wrong in your life, when you find that this longing for fulfillment is not being satisfied, then, oh friend, don't go from door to door begging sympathy. Don't run from person to person, from place to place, listening to this lecture, going to that art gallery, visiting this friend and that friend. But, oh friend, go within the silence of your own closet. Close the door. Call Ma. Call God. God, God, God. Don't be satisfied with just sitting there for 2 minutes and saying, well, God, here I am and there you are, and have mercy upon us, and amen, and getting up and going. But say, God, come to me, come to me, come to me. I want you. I want to know you. I want to experience your presence. I want to love you, and I want to know your love. I want to know that you love me. Talk to God as your own dearest friend, as your own dearest beloved, and you will find then that he is real. You will find then that this God is not somebody up in the clouds who has forgotten man. It is not God who has forgotten man and doomed him to live in misery. It is man who has forgotten God and is seeking every other possible kind of solution except the communion with that one who is the sole reality underlying all experience, all existence, all realities of this universe. Well, friends, that brings us to the end of today's broadcast, except for a couple of announcements. I shall be giving a series of classes in yoga, which is a science of meditation and of bodily postures for physical health and well-being. All of these tied to the subject of what we are, the subject that we are discussing today, because it is only when you own your own mind that you can give it to God. You cannot give someone something you do not possess. So as long as the mind and body take you away from your own self, as long as you do not have control over your own thoughts, you cannot pray effectively. You cannot worship God truly. The science of yoga is simply a means of cooperating with divine grace so that it may be possible to live more closely to him. These classes are going to be in Oakland, in Palo Alto, and in San Francisco, and I'll be giving some introductory lectures in San Francisco on the, let's see, when is it? The 15th at the Jewish Community Center, and the 17th at the Straight Theater, both at 8 p.m., and on the 14th and 16th in Palo Alto, that is to say, 14th in the Menlo Park Recreation Center, that's next to Palo Alto, and the 16th in the Eichler Swim and Tennis Club on Lewis Road, 3539 Lewis Road in Palo Alto. The classes will begin the following week on Monday, the 20th, at the Straight Theater, every Monday night thereafter for 6 weeks, and in Palo Alto at the Eichler Swim and Tennis Club on Wednesday, and the date, the time hasn't been set yet in Oakland. But please, if you are interested in taking these classes, write to this program at box 18272 or telephone me at 752-6020 for further information, and I'll send you an announcement about it. Well, friends, that brings us to the end of today's broadcast. I would like to leave you with this thought, the understanding of the vital importance of including meditation in your daily worship or in your daily effort to improve yourself. Until next week, then, at this same time, may you so live that you find God's joy in your heart. Including meditation in your daily worship or in your daily effort.